I want to start a new series, called Come Home, Come Home. And subtitle is Listen to the Voice of God, Listen to the Voice of God. And the passage is from Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18. And this is the parable of the prodigal son. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father." I will set out and, you know, go back home. You know, the son in this passage spent all his inheritance. He was broken, he was lost, and shamed. And the good news is the son comes back home. You know, the son comes home. So from the prodigal to a son, from sin to redemption, from defeat to victory. And if you look at that passage, for the son to come home, the prodigal son have to be in a place of desperation. Okay? There was a famine in the land. He spent everything and had nothing left. He longed to eat the food that the pigs were eating. That he was at the lowest point of his life, and he was desperate. He was hungry. And that desperation causes you to want to change. The wrong way to the right way, being lost to coming back home, being found. Being found. See, you become desperate when you are dissatisfied with the way you are. If you think, you know, I'm just fine, I'm comfortable, I'm satisfied, I'm happy, you will not change. You have to be fed up with the addiction. You have to be fed up with the sin. You have to be fed up with the brokenness, the bondage. Something in you have to say, no more, okay? I had enough, no more. You have to be fed up with being angry all the time, being upset, being bitter, being resentful. You have to be fed up with the lies, fed up with the bondage, living in shame and condemnation. And nothing is going to change until you decide, I don't like this. I'm tired of being stressed out all the time. I'm tired of the same pattern of dysfunction. I'm tired of the stronghold in my life. I'm tired of being beat up by the devil. I'm tired of being angry, bitter. I'm tired of being distant with God, from God. See, you got to get desperate. You have to be fed up with the old. You've got to be desperate for change. If this is where you are, okay, you are ready to come home. Okay? You are ready to come home. And say to your neighbor, I'm coming home. Okay? So I'm doing a series. You know me. I don't know how long it's going to go. Okay, I'm not sure. But the series is Come Home. And today I want to talk about listening to the voice of God. Listening to the voice of God. Because throughout Scripture, hearing the voice of God marked out those who belong to God. Hearing the voice of God made them different from other individuals, from other groups, from other nations. And so when we look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, this is a New American Standard Version. It says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and listen to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. So the context of Exodus 15 is God's people were in the wilderness. And the water was too bitter to drink. And in that context, what God's saying, this is where you're supposed to listen to my voice. But they don't do this as they go through different trials. And so Moses prayed and listened to God. And God showed him a piece of wood to throw into the water, and the water became fit to drink. And, you know, but God gives this instruction. If you listen carefully to my voice, the Lord your God, there will be a separation as there was between Egypt and Israel. Instead of plague, sickness, problems, and destruction, there will be healing. Okay? There will be healing. There will be a new life. There will be an overcoming. There will be victory. There will be a blessing. But God has to constantly tell his people this in Exodus 19, verse 5. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. If you obey my voice, God says, if you listen to the voice of the Lord, you shall be my own possession. You will be mine. I will be with you. You will be part of my family. I will make a home in you. Okay? If you listen to my voice. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. It's a King James version. Okay, it's a King James version. I like that version. You know, I go through different versions, see, you know, what's the best one. And I like that version. And it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hearken. Another word for hearken is listen. If you listen to the voice of the Lord your God, you will receive blessing. Okay? You will receive blessing. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28, as you read the verses, you know, the blessing, you will be blessed wherever you are. Your life will be fruitful. You will overcome all your enemies. You will always succeed. You'll overcome. You will be his holy people. And then verse 15, but God gives an opposite picture. If you do not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, there's this list of curses that will overtake you. Curses that will overtake you. And then you go into the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. And how is he going to bring the sheep back home? They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. God will bring home his sheep that are not in the pen. How? They too, how are you going to go back home? They too will listen to my voice. How do you know the real believers from non-believer? Yeah. How do you know that you belong to Jesus? That your home is the kingdom of God? They shall hear the voice of God. This is a distinctive mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. They shall hear the voice of God. And John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep listens to my voice. Huh? My sheep listens to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Right? This is a mark of a disciple. You hear his voice. He knows you, and you follow him. Now, in Greek for word, right, the word, In the New Testament, there are two distinctive Greek words for word. They are logos and rhema, okay? Logos and rhema. And logos, okay, is a very deep meaning to the logos. It is comprehensive. It represents the mind of God, the counsel of God, God's total purpose. Okay? So when you see Psalm chapter 119, verse 89, okay, your word is logos. This is what's called logos. Your logos, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And Logos was God. Okay? And so this two passage, Logos, okay, written is talking about Scripture, the Bible. And what does the Scripture say? It's about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. All Scripture, all Bible is God-breathed, meaning it's inspired by God. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for some of the good works. No, it says every good works. Okay? As a child of God, as children of God, as a family household of God, what it's saying is we love the Bible. Okay? We study the Bible. We know the Bible. We practice and obey the Bible. In life, we need to put our faith in the Word of God. See, you and I are limited. There are many things that we can't see. There are many things we do not know. There are many things we do not understand. The Bible says what it says about itself. It teaches us, shows us what we're doing wrong. It corrects us, it trains us so that you and I may be thoroughly equipped for every good works. Scripture, the written word of God, the Bible, it helps us in every area of our life. Okay? Concerning where we come from, where we are going, our purpose, our calling, our destiny. It gives us instruction in the area of sex, relationship, thought life, our emotion, our body, our finance, our heart. You and I have to put our faith in God's written word. God doesn't tell us to do something to make us miserable. God wants to bless us. But you and I need to realize I am limited. God is not limited. He knows things that I cannot understand or see. That's why when we put our faith in the Word of God, faith is assurance of something that we cannot see in Hebrews 11. The written Word of God is always true. It is absolute truth. You know, there are millions and millions of things that's going around me that I don't understand. And I need to trust someone who does. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Jesus was going through a storm. Jesus didn't try to reason with the devil, but uses logos. Every temptation that Jesus came to him in the wilderness, you know what he says? It is written. It is written. Man shall not live on bread alone. It is written, you shall have no other God. It is written. Jesus overcame the devil through Scripture, through the Bible. You know, if you are interested in speed, you'll know about sports car. If you like golf, you'll watch, you know, tournaments on TV. If you are a Christian, then you want to know the truth. You want to know God, purpose for your life. You want to transform. You want to grow more spiritually mature. You want to serve and be used. Then you are excited about the Bible. The Bible has direction and answer. The Bible says testimony of itself is that in every area of your life. Amen? So that's Logos, the written word of God. And another Greek word for word, okay, is Rhema. Okay, Rhema. All right? R-H-E-M-A. Okay, if you're taking notes. And in scripture, there's passages that overlap. That's why it used to confuse me. You know, sometimes the word Rhema has some overlap with Logos, you know. But Rhema has a different meaning. It has a different meaning. The word Rhema usually means spoken word. Logos, the written word. Rhema, the spoken word. And we see this in Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word. And you got to look at the context that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? Every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. In the context, not written word, logos, but rhema. And the spoken word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? And I want to share with you my conviction about Rhema. You know, in the charismatic church, they talk about Rhema as spiritual gift, the prophetic gift, Rhema. You know, the spoken word. To me, that's not what I believe the scripture is talking about, the prophetic gift. Okay? But I believe, and so Rhema is not based on spiritual gifts, like prophetic gift. But Rhema is based on connection with God, intimacy with God. That's why I said, my sheep will hear my voice. I know them. It's not based on spiritual gift, but on intimacy. And connection with God. You know? So the written word, logos, the Bible, it applies to all believers throughout history. It applies to all believers throughout history. The rhema word is more personal. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's more personal. God will speak to you. He is your God. He will speak to you every day. Not just something written hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago. Every day, God speaks to you. Rhema. It's like daily bread. Okay? It's like the daily bread. Bread, you know, you ate last month or yesterday. It's not going to help you. It's like the manna that the people of God got every day. If they kept it for the next day, it's spoiled. But manna was supposed to be eaten every day, fresh. Fresh manna every day. And this is your God. God will speak to you at the present time, right now, today. I don't hear an amen. But here's the thing. This is very important. This is very important. This is my conviction, and that is true. Logos and Rhema are both important, and it needs to be balanced. Okay? It needs to be balanced. If only Logos is important to you, the written word, then the Bible is just for teaching. That's all you focus on, teaching. And then it just stimulates your mind, but not the heart. And you eventually can fall into legalism. And that's what happened to the Pharisee. The Bible was just logos. They know about God, but there was no rhema. They didn't know God. They knew about God, but they did not know God. Okay? That's the danger if it's unbalanced, just logos. But there's also danger if it's just rhema. Okay? There's a danger if it's just rhema. Then what happens is, without the logos, you can't discern the voice of God. You can't discern if it's your voice, the world's voice, the devil's voice, or God's voice. It constantly changes, depends on your circumstances, your feeling, other people. And the problem with just rhema is that eventually you fall into emotionalism. Emotionalism. Up and down. Up and down. No stability. If it's just logos, you could fall into legalism. But when logos and rhema is balanced, right? And this is how God worked in me. He first showed that logos and rhema through the Bible. What I'm going to talk about. There are times when the written word becomes rhema to me. Sometimes I open the Bible and the word will jump out at me. God will highlight a scriptural passage. And then you know what happens? It's not just for my mind. It's not just so that I could teach the Bible. The logos becomes rhema. It becomes very personal. It is for me. It is for the present. And then the word of God is beyond information. It's beyond scholarly work, beyond spiritual discipline. You know, that's what I was taught when I was in college by my discipler. Spiritual discipline, logos, spiritual. Memorize it, study it. But it's so important that the logos become rhema, not just something to study, but become personal. And the word become personal. It's not just somewhat, it is not for anyone else. It is for me. It is real. It goes deep. It is relevant to me. And there's conviction. And when you develop that foundation with logos and rhema, okay, when you develop that foundation, I will hear the Lord when I'm driving. I will hear him speak personally to me. I'm not talking about prophetic word where I use, you know, encouragement and to edify others. God will personally speak to me. You know, there's much information in the Bible that I know, but most of the great transition and change in my life came because logos became rhema. To study and understand and know the Bible requires discipline, a lot of spiritual discipline. For God's word to become rhema, it is relationship. It's intimacy with God. I know them, and they follow me. You know, it was in my devotion with God. I heard rhema. The spoken word of God. I heard God speak to me to start Catalyst. During the different storms, you know, especially these last couple of years, different storms, I would humble myself before God. And, you know, I'm going, God, what do I do? How do I lead this church? And God gave me rhema word to lead this church. When I minister to others, when I minister to others, you know, I trust the Lord, I depend on him, and God will give me rhema words for others. And again, when you just think about prophetic gift, that's all you focus on. But I want you to know, personal rhema word, you got to eat the daily manna. God is personal, and he wants to speak to you every day. It is in my weakness, you know, God speaks his rhema word. And this is what he spoke to me for 2022. You are going to overcome. Catalyst is going to overcome. Amen? The problem, it is great when I hear the voice of God and obey them, obey his voice. But there are times I ignore the voice of God. There are times I miss the voice of God. And there are times when God is speaking to me and I don't obey. And there are times I have disobeyed the spoken word of God for my life. But Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice. I know them and they follow me. Lord Jesus leads us to believe that hearing his voice is not just for pastors and missionaries. It's for everyone here, everybody online, everybody on Zoom. It's for this church. You know, I believe in the perfect world. You know, that's why when we get to heaven, we're gonna communicate not with human words, because this, you know, you could misunderstand, you could misinterpret. You know, Apostle Paul heard things that he couldn't comprehend. It was so in heaven, you know, where it's perfect, we will not confuse the voice of God. Okay, we're not gonna confuse the voice of God. But we don't live in a perfect world. You and I are not perfect. And the problem, many are poor at hearing the voice of God. They mistake their own voice for the voice of God. They mistake others' voice, the voice of circumstances, voice of emotion, even lies and demons, shame, guilt, and pride. And they mistake it for God's voice. We believe whatever we think, whatever we feel, is God leading, or what we desire or want, God talking to us, we are hearing God's voice. Our own voice becomes God's voice. Our own desire becomes God's voice. So a bitter person will say God is angry with you. A depressed person will say God doesn't care. A critical person will say God is disappointed with you. A fearful person will say, God doesn't want you to take that risk. A narcissist will say, I am the one God speaks to, and you need to listen to me. Those who can hear the voice of God, Jesus says, I know them, and they follow me. Right? For the Logos to become Rhema, it starts with connection, intimacy, love, and trust. And God's people said, okay, let's pray.